As for right now, we go to the KODY phone lines as we have State Senator Mike Groney joining us. Good morning, Senator Groney. How are you today?
Good. I'm just doing fine. Winter's here.
Unfortunately.
Now we were complaining it was too hot for October. This is too early for snow.
So yeah, kind of got to pick your poison, right?
Yeah. We needed some cooler temperatures. If we're not going to get moisture, we need cooler temperatures.
Yep. And we'll take the moisture while we're at it, I suppose.
Yeah. We didn't get much, I don't believe, out of it, but we got something.
Yep.
The grass wet at least, so it can't burn.
Yep. But something's better than nothing.
The election's coming up. That's the big topic.
Mm-hmm.
Before I forget, the person who sent me this forgot to, tomorrow, Tuesday, today, at they're having a hearing, the Secretary of State's having a hearing on the gambling petitions.
Yeah, out of the college, right?
Yeah, and so if you want to go out there and testify and give you 2 bits for or against the gambling initiatives, it's at 3:30 today. I was asked to come out and testify, but I can't make it. So give me your 2 bits, and I don't know how much difference it makes, but it gives all matters what happens in the voting booth. But it's part of our state statutes that each initiative has to have 3 public hearings across the state.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of them. So anyway, otherwise, if you read my column, I made some comments about how I personally will vote on those initiatives and amendments. I just can't vote for the gambling one. I understand that if I was a pure politician, economic development, if we wanted to put a racetrack in North Platte and have a casino, the true casino, not the ones we do have in North Platte now, but true casino, you would vote for it, because the towns who get that, those casinos, Grand Island's going to get a casino. They got the state fair. It's going to be a boom for them if for people coming in, staying in their hotels. Same with South Sioux and I believe Lincoln. And does Columbus still have their racetrack? I can't remember if they do.
I don't know.
But you could always build one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just start one and on an acre of ground, put a little track on, and have one race a year with some Shetland ponies, and you're in business. But I just don't see the economic or the social benefit of it. I just can't follow it. Don't get me wrong. If I'm in a city with a casino, I go in and I sit down a little bit and gamble. But that doesn't mean. But if it wasn't there when I'm on business, I wouldn't do it. That's the thing. I don't pursue it. But if it happens to be there and they got a nice restaurant there, it's something you do. Go watch people. But that's what's bad about it, having it in your backyard. As I said in my column, if you can't afford to gamble and it's just down the street from you and you're desperate, you go down there and you gamble.
Which
causes the social issues that everybody's concerned about gambling, because they do exist. They don't build those places because people win. We all know that.
Yep.
And they don't build them as ornate as they are because people win a lot. But that one, you do what you want. I would vote probably for the property tax one just to make sure if it does pass a no on the other two. I never thought of that angle, but you want to make sure if they do, it goes to something we agree on at least, and I agree on property tax relief. But there's 3 of them, of course. One of them changes the Constitution. The other two put it into statute how it will be conducted. And remember this, if it's in the Constitution, nobody can change it unless we do this all again. Statutes could change within You have to have 30 votes. I believe you have to have 30 votes or 33 votes to change it. Anything that's been put into statute by the people, by initiative, the legislature cannot change that statute. It's either 30 or 33 votes. So there is a protection there, but it can be changed by the legislature.
Okay.
In other words, what it could be changed is that you expand it even further or reduced it. But that... And then, like on my Amendment 1, the Amendment 1 on the slavery, that could have been done a lot better if we'd had time to react and we'd had some leadership down there on this issue. But the right thing to do would have been to separate the slavery from the involuntary servitude. Just said you, in Nebraska, you shall not slavery. You should slavery is forbidden. You cannot own a slave, and then changed it that on. And then have another one. You cannot have involuntary servitude unless it's used by somebody convicted of a crime. That would have been better wording, but that isn't what we did. Like I said, I think we're going to cause grief. The ACLU is just sitting. I've heard this already through the grapevine, and that's what they're waiting for. Once we change this in the Constitution, they'll come in and say we've got to pay every prisoner for even getting up in the morning. And that's not good for the rehabilitation programs we have. We can't afford to pay everybody $9 an hour or more. Right now, they do pay them a stipend of, you know, a couple of bucks, buck and a half, $2 if they do a job in the state penal system, like the laundry or work in the kitchen. Right now, I guess they're paying some convicts go around and wipe everything down, you know, because of COVID.
Increased sanitation.
After somebody's been in a room just like we do out here in the real world. But I can't support it. It's just not written well, and it's too drastic a change to the Constitution. It has side effects that could harm convicts and their rehabilitation and harm the public. We don't want a bunch of folks going to jail and just being interned, just sitting there, because when they come out, nothing has changed. They haven't had a chance to change their life or anything because we can't afford to pay them to become better people. And then, of course, the TIF 1 doesn't affect North Platte because Amendment 2 doesn't affect North Platte because of we're not a extremely blighted area. We're close, a couple of spots in town, but we're not. And if it helps actually motivate some developers to actually use TIF correctly, blighted areas of Omaha and South Sioux and Grand Island, I guess, has an area. It can't do any harm because right now what they're doing is using it for economic incentives. And it's just really sad what it's done to our property tax base and laziness of the economic development establishment not to push for growth without abusing TIF. But it is what it is. And unfortunately, I think it's illegal and just never ended up in the Supreme Court yet because there's no enforcement of how a lot of these programs we pass, there's no enforcement. It just says you should do it this way. But if you don't do it this way, government, when we put restrictions on government, when we put restrictions on people, of course we enforce it. When we put restrictions, the legislature on government, we put no enforcement mechanism. We allow them to self-enforce. Well, unless a person has a lot of money and wants to sue in civil court, you can't get anything done. And until somebody's upset enough that you sue on civil court on somebody's egregious use of tax increment financing, they'll do whatever they want because the Supreme Court, the state of Nebraska, would be the ones that have to slap their hands. But there's only been one case in history, and it was in Hastings, and it did rule in favor of they were abusing it, but now 15, 20 years later, they're ignoring that ruling, too, because there's no enforcement. But it is what it is. But on the rest of the election, You can be mad at somebody because you don't like their personality, but you also are affecting the future of our country, how you vote. And Do you really want to go down that road? Are you so angry you want to go down that road and for socialism? I mean, it's not a good road. It's not the road to freedom. It's the road to servitude, actually, to government, because you rely on government for everything instead of God. I just don't see why people would do that. I'm really disappointed in our education, public education system that's created this many young voters who disdain freedom, disdain the free market system, disdain our history. They have such a, it bothers me more than anything when they confront me is that the arrogance. That they are perfect, that their view is the future. And anybody who believes in what got us here in the first place, the wealth we have in this country, the opportunities we have in this country, are passé, and we need to leave it in the past. I just don't understand that philosophy, or why they're being taught that, how they come out of our public schools with that kind of an attitude. And I'm looking into it. I'm upset. If I'm education chair, I'm going to look into what's going on in our classrooms, because somebody has to. Apparently our school boards are not. And what's going to be taught. I understand in our own North Platte Public Schools. CNN is on all the time. It's very biased. Why not put C-SPAN on at least? If you're going to teach public policy, why CNN? That's a political decision made by an administration of our schools. Why? You ought to be concerned about that, folks. I get parents calling me. What can they do about it? Well, they just get told that's their decision and that's what they're going to do. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong that a school would do that. But we allow it. Anyway, you know, we got good public schools, don't get me wrong. But when we have individuals who bring politics into the classroom, that should not be allowed. It should not be allowed. Had a young a family in Grand Island call me that their daughter went into government class, and this is Grand Island. And the teacher, first day, made him fill out a postcard that said, what party do you agree with or your family agree with? 3 out of 18 said Republican. They got harassed. One young lady got harassed so bad and threatened so bad and made fun of so bad that parents had to pull her out of the school.
Jeez.
That's wrong. And it needs to stop. I don't know if the tide has gone so far that we can change it. But we need to protect our public education system from the radicals in it. And I mean radicals. Nothing else explained. And I hear about the liberal colleges, folks. It's not the liberal colleges. It's part of it. But most of those kids riding the street never stepped foot in a college. They learned it earlier than that. I see it all the time, and it's not good. And we have good, good, decent Christian teachers who are censored, silenced. They got it. They have a job. They can't say what they believe because they are good people and they don't want to influence children. They believe it's the parents' right to influence children. And we have those who don't care. They're out there to influence children, and not in the right direction. But anyway. We'll see what the election brings. Locally, as I said, I'd like to see people vote for Ryan Sellers and Ken Anderson for the in-court board. Those two individuals will support Lincoln County and back Lincoln County. And even if one of them is rumored that they might move out of the town, but vote for them anyway, because if they win, the board will be controlled by the people who Lincoln County, the Twin Platte NRD, will be controlled by people who protect Lincoln County, and then they will decide who would replace that individual if family matters cause them to leave. Let's vote for them anyway. So Ryan Sellers and Ken Anderson, and also school board. I really didn't get involved too much with that. I talked to one of the candidates, but I haven't talked to the other one in one of the contested races. But you might ask him that. How serious are you looking in? If you're running for school board, do you believe we need to keep pushing preschool in our public schools, a stale environment where the name Jesus Christ can't be used with 3 and 4 year olds? Do you really want that? You want our children raised and taught the way to go at 3 to 4 year olds by a public institution? I don't. I really don't. And I know they think they're doing good. They're getting an early start. But it's not. I don't think it's good for society. It wasn't good where they've done it in the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany. It didn't turn out well. Start institutionalizing kids and taking them out of the family at that early an age. But I'm being a little radical conservative today, but I think it's time to do that. I can understand their founding fathers who finally stood up and said, enough's enough. We've got to go away from our occupations, from our jobs, and we need to stand up and we need to protect what's good in this country. It's time. Make sure you vote. Make sure you vote policy. If you don't like our present president, just remember this. It was Providence that he closed our borders. It wasn't racist, it was Providence. You imagine with COVID, the humane situation we'd have, humanity crisis we'd have with millions of people trying to come across that border with COVID, thinking that they can escape the policies of their country. Can you imagine that? Well, the day after the election, if Biden wins, that's what will happen. That will be one of his first changes. Do you want that? Or do you want a common sense immigration policy? That's one of the things you're voting on. So there's a lot of things. This country's going broke the way it is, and I'm not happy with some of the things they've done lately spending money, but it'll get worse. Promises will be made. Money will be doled out. And what you worked hard for, inflation will hit. And your savings value will drop. That's something else you're voting on. Now, if you're into gossip and the talk shows about personalities and what somebody's son did or somebody's wife did or somebody's income taxes, you shouldn't be voting. You should be looking at policy. What do you want for this country? Where do you want it to end up? And if you read my column, you know, I took criticism even in local paper. Oh my gosh, you're not collegial. Me and Wayne went toe to toe in a debate. We didn't shoot each other like Aaron Burr did and Jefferson and Adams. I mean, but at the end of the day, we're friends. We respect each other. If you do things quietly in a back room, like a lot of school boards and city councils and NRD boards do, and then keep quiet, bad things happen for the public. You need, America's going to survive. It has to be debated in public. And I wouldn't vote for anybody who was too shy, who thought what they wanted to get elected for needed to be negotiated in a back room. Because that isn't what the majority of the people want. But I'll guarantee you, Trump does not negotiate stuff in the back room. He does it on Twitter. Anyway, it is what it is.
You're not wrong, Senator. I said you're not wrong, Senator.
No. Anyway, is anything else happening in town that we need to be concerned about or talk about?
Well, there's not a whole lot going on around here. I'm glad that you kind of dove into the election a little bit. We are hosting a debate starting this evening at 5 o'clock. We have the mayoral candidates on. We have city council races going on tomorrow night from 5 to 7, and then Wednesday night 5 to 7 as well. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I hope folks tune in. I know that you'd encourage them to tune in and become an educated voter ahead of this election, because yeah, it's not only a critical election for the entire state, for the entire nation, but for the city of North Platte also.
Yeah, I'm really optimistic about the city of North Platte and its future. I think we got an opportunity to elect some people that will look after not themselves, their own pocketbook, and keep business out, but actually look to grow North Platte, actually to look what's best for the entire city. We got Kelleher for mayor. We got Tryon and Woods for city council. If you do that, it will strengthen that board, where you'll see more things like updating the streets in downtown and looking after the city. And things can happen fast in America. You've just got to get past those we used to call them good old boys who want to stay, just want it to grow fast enough to make sure enough money flows through their pockets. It happens in every town. We just need a new, finally, NordPlat to get to the point where you elect people who are true, true public servants with no interest in any of their own private well-being or financial gain. That needs to be done. And it needs to be, and you got a great opportunity to do it with a new mayor and a couple new city council folks.
Now, Senator,
people who run for office with their occupation. Really, that's what you find your life, the short time you live on earth, by your damned occupation, instead of what's good for a community, instead of whatever you do for a living. That's foolishness. But anyway, what else do you got?
Well, just wanted to discuss the restrictions that Governor Ricketts has announced that he's going to be rolling out for the state coming up on Wednesday. What are your thoughts on the new COVID-19 restrictions here in the state from your colleague, Governor Ricketts?
The governor has managed our economy and the virus very well, I've thought. I think what Trump and the governor has done has been great because they slowed it down enough. That was what they told us in the first place until the medical industry had a chance to catch up and with treatment for the symptoms of this corona, cold, whatever you want to call it, virus, super one. But they've done that. If you look nationally, if you look any state, the graphs on testing, remember when we started, we had no testing. And it still isn't really reliable. There's, Shaban, the football coach, tested positive, and then the next three were negative. And,
yeah.
And there's, we haven't been proven yet that test don't pick up any coronavirus. So when you test positive, is it the common? Is it one of the versions of the common cold? Or is it the COVID-19? But the point is, testing is what it is. It's on a rise, upwards, positive. But then again, find the morbidity rate. It's dropped drastically. It's dropped down there where it's hard to really claim what they're perishing from. So I think we've done what, and remember, this hasn't stopped. The medical industry is coming out with more and more combinations of drug treatment and things and catching it early. Look what happened to Trump, 70-year-old man. It went fine because they treated it early. So that the panic should be over. I believe the panic should be over. We manage it. Yes, we have the treatment, but as the governor says, the bottleneck is the hospital beds. And the brave individuals in those hospitals willing to work around them. But that stress is becoming less too because they see the treatment. Those people working in the hospital, you don't hear much on them. They see the success that's coming with the treatments. For those who are severely affected by it, a very, very slim minority that's affected by it. I'm talking like a politician, but talking too long. But I think the governor's done a great job. I think Trump has done a good job. I don't believe the national press. I read something this morning about China has back to normal. And I doubt that very much. What can you believe coming out of China? Anyway, I'm also a practical man. I sat in a restaurant the other day looking out the window, and I told my wife, where's the hearse? Where's the ambulances? Where's the fresh mounds of graves that you see in a pandemic? They aren't there. I seen the statistics the other day. So far in the United States, if you compare the death toll through the 1st of October through last year's, there's a bump of 20,000, not 220,000, 20,000 deaths. If you compare year over year, the natural process of humanity is to live and to die. 20,000. This is all political. Yes, it exists. Yes, I'm glad we have a great medical system. Yes, I'm glad we have a great scientific, all because, to go back my original thing about the presidential race, because we have a free market system who creates wealth and a reason to go into research because you can be paid well, to go in to be a doctor because you can be paid well in a free market system, and therefore we benefit all of us. I have faith in that system. Anyway.
Now, Senator Groney, we do need to wrap up, but obviously you're still working here even outside of the legislative session, so if there's any Lincoln County constituents that want to get a hold of you and discuss state issues with you or maybe receive some help, how can they reach out to you to discuss any issues here throughout the Lincoln County area or throughout the state?
After 6 years, I finally memorized my email address. It's mgroney@leg.ne.gov. Or you can call the office at 402-471-2729. You can try to call my cell number, too, but we get so many of these scam phone
yes.
calls that I have a hard time answering any of them because I get those. But you can, my staff, they'll forward to me. I'll read them. I'll answer some. I'll get my staff to research and answer other questions you have. If it's related to state business, if it's something about the federal or what's going on in the world, I can't change that anymore, and you can or have an effect on it.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that by just voting on November 3rd. But I'm headed to Lincoln again this week. I'm on that YRTC committee, and we're going to tour some facilities down in Lincoln and have a meeting with the head of HHS. I'm meeting with folks. I'm still thinking of an in-court bill. I'm trying to meet with the individuals on that. I'm not giving up. Can't give up. You got to keep fighting.
Yep.
So that's where we're at.
Now, Senator Groney, as always, we appreciate the time. Safe travels down to the capital city, and we'll talk to you again next Monday, sir.
Yep. Talk to you later.
Thank you, sir. That, again, is State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update right here on KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM.